people have often sort of developed an interest in history or archaeology, but not really been able to pursue it. It's one of those things that's actually become more popular with television recently, things like Time Team. And I think people are more aware of it and do now have a greater connection with it. And it's surprising, actually, once you start to visit places and look at the archaeology and the history, just how many connections there are, you know, and how much it is relevant, you know, how interesting and relevant it becomes to a sort of the bigger picture, you know, the bigger story of humankind, really. So I think what I'm saying is everybody has a latent interest in the past because it connects with present-day life in so many different ways. So you don't need to be a history buff, you know, it's not something that you need prior knowledge of. Because an archaeology tour or an archaeological holiday with some sort of designed around the archaeological interest, or at least with some visits of archaeological interest in there, bring that out for you.
It's interesting you mention that, because some people might be slightly intimidated at the prospect, thinking that everybody that's going to go on one of these tours is going to have a PhD and will have studied at great detail archaeology. You might have people who've never done anything, who've just seen a couple of TV programs like the ones you mentioned, who want to learn more. So how do you deal with that kind of knowledge gap there's bound to be between different people on a tour?
Yes, people have different interests, but that's the marvellous thing, really, about archaeology, is because the breadth of interest in there is endless. You know, we're sort of looking at life in the past, and that sort of life in all its different facets. So everybody finds something of interest, and it's not a case of having an academic approach to it. At Hidden History, for example, we design tours around the archaeological interest, but we make sure there's a balance of leisure and interest. We're not there to really sort of provide a highly concentrated, intensive, or indeed, you know, as you suggest, exclusive tour at all. It's more for everybody to bring out that general interest, the general context. And we do that really by pacing it nicely, and by putting the content in there at a level that everybody can get, you know, and then people can take different things out of it and develop things in different ways. You know, for example, we'll have on-site visits with guides, and also talks in the hotel, for example, with a tour lecturer, with a specialist, who isn't there to make you feel that you don't know anything. Quite the opposite, is there to help bring out your interest and develop the wider context, the wider understanding of what we've been looking at during the day.
So if people go on one of your holidays, how would the day, an average day, pan out? Is it touring all the time, or do you have an element of free time if you're going to warmer climes to go in the pool or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's nice to be able to do a bit of both. I think it spoils things if you, particularly if you feel rushed. People want to spend time on the site. You want to absorb it, to enjoy the atmosphere, to just be able to be there, as much as to be sort of hurtled around and shepherded about like, you know, like a mass tourist. We sort of trying to, Hidden History at least, we try to avoid that. We get off the beaten track a little bit. We time things so that there's a chance to not have to go at the same time as everybody else, for example, and so that you've perhaps also got a chance to just relax. You know, it's nice to put in a bit of a mix. A typical day might be a full day. You know, we might have, you know, it's at a 9 o'clock start. On another day, we might just make it a bit more leisurely, or maybe have a bit of a talk and a lecture or something in the morning before heading out for the day. Sometimes it can be a half a day. And it's sometimes nice if the weather's good, as you say, to get back to the hotel early and sort of have a sundowner by the pool. So it varies. We like to kind of keep it varied so that there's plenty in there for people to do, plenty for people to join, so they're not getting bored, and so that you're seeing as much as you possibly could see from being at that destination. But I think it's important to keep the balance, to have a bit of a mix in there, and perhaps also to offer people a chance to just extend their stay. You know, if you want a bit more time in the destination, at least at Hidden History, we've got that flexibility with things like the flights, so that you can kind of tailor things, or we can help tailor things to suit you a bit more.
So what about destinations then? As a layperson on the outside of this, I'd assume that Italy and maybe Greece are going to be some of your hot spots. Is that the case?
Definitely, yes. The Mediterranean is very popular. It's not only popular for its weather and its lifestyle and the food, and for typical beach holidays. It's also got fantastic archaeology. You know, the Mediterranean civilizations that really were the precursors to, you know, all the first European civilizations, things like, as you say, Greece and Rome. So yes, we for example have a tour to ancient Greece, which is very popular. It's an incredible connection. It's almost like an emotional connection with the place, because ancient Greece being the foundation of Western civilization means that it's in us all, actually. You know, it's surprisingly familiar to visit these great names, places like Olympia and Delphi and the Acropolis on Athens. So yes, they are sort of classic destinations, if you like. Similarly with Italy, with Pompeii, you know, the famous, one of the, perhaps the most famous archaeological site in the world. You know, with its fantastic preservation from the volcanic eruption of Vesuvius that buried it in 79 AD. And it creates this very vivid, very visual archaeology on a huge scale, incredible preservation of a whole townscape. There are certain places that people know about already. But what we also do at Hidden History is sort of try to explore some lesser-known places, get off the beaten track a little bit, just to see a bit more of the country. So we wouldn't perhaps focus just on Pompeii, but on seeing the sites around it and putting it in its landscape and in its regional setting, for example.
It's one destination then, Simon, that you'd recommend for anybody new to archaeological trips and holidays, which would give them a good grounding.
If we start with the Mediterranean, it's a nice place to start, actually. Chronologically, it makes sense to start in the early periods, so to start sort of with prehistory. It's surprising, for example, if you go to Malta, that's a well-known destination. But it's a good start. It's a good place to start because it has actually some really surprisingly good archaeology, and history. The archaeology, though, goes right back to some of the earliest temples in the world. You know, that predate the pyramids and predate Stonehenge even, and therefore give very good insights, into the prehistoric world. And Malta, at the same time, of course, has great history with the Knights of St. John and the building of the city of Valletta, which is now a World Heritage Site because of its sort of Baroque, its early Baroque architecture. So it's got interests there, quite wide interests for different people, which are from the different periods, which are therefore quite a good good introduction. It's also a very nice place to to just hang out. You know, it's got the typical Mediterranean island feel to it.
Do you offer any tours to Turkey? And if so, has any of that changed with recent events? I was just wondering, obviously, with news about, well, some restriction on movement for Turkish people, whether that impacts on the holiday market going there.
Yeah, it certainly has impacted on people travelling there. It's a great shame. The whole of North Africa, the Near East, and now Turkey, the sort of the most recent victim, if you like, of the wars, is a great shame because the archaeology is absolutely amazing. I've been, for example, to Libya before the war broke out there, to great sites like Leptis Magna, and to Syria, fantastic sites there like the not just Damascus, but the great Roman cities in the desert, for example. And now it's Turkey has become a little worrying. It's really to get off the beaten track and down to some of the really interesting early sites tends to take you a bit too close to the Syrian border. So that's really not advised at the moment. I think the Aegean coast, though, the well-known sites like Ephesus, for example, on the Mediterranean coast, are a lot safer. We're not operating anything ourselves, Hidden History, this year. But we certainly keep an open mind with Turkey. It's well worth it archaeologically as a place to visit.
And finally, where can people go to find out more information about what you do?
Well, we've got a website, of course. That's hiddenhistory.co.uk, www.hiddenhistory.co.uk. And we can always mail people a brochure. One of the best things to do, actually, is to go onto the website and subscribe to our mailing list. It's not you don't pay anything, and it's not it's not as if you're going to be bombarded with anything. It's purely for Hidden History, and every month or so we might send you then an email newsletter which keeps you up to date with what we're doing. And also adds content. We like to sort of make it interesting in terms of, you know, for example, if you go to the website, we've got profiles on different countries and the archaeological interests that can be found in different places. So that's the best way of keeping in touch. Or, of course, you can always just call me on 0121 444 1854.
Great stuff. Thank you, Simon. That's brilliant.